राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदानी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदानी जय यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन चारी तीरा बन राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदानी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदानी जय यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन चारी जमुना तीरा बन चारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हे राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम शिवाय परमहंस परिव्राज तुलसी समारवाय चौने भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री गोपाल की जय इस्कन फाउंडर चार्ज श्री गोपाल की जय कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय नाम आचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री बांसुरी गौर भक्तविंद की श्री राधा माधव गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन श्री मथुर धाम की जय माया धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय कंगमाई जमुनमाई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय संग वीर भक्त वृंद की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय श्रीमद भागवत धाम की जय जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gaudam, glory to Sri Prabhupada. Hi, this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 18, entitled King Yayati Regains His Youth, Text 3-5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is text 5 on the board. Sri Raju Vacham Brahmashiri Bhagavam Kavyam Brahmashi Bhagavan Kavya Shatra Bandhushtanahusha Shatra Bandhushtana Chana Suha Shatra Bandhushtanahusha Lajanya Vipayo Kasma Rajanya Vipayo Kasmat Vivaha Patilomaka Vivaha Patilomaka Sri Raju Vacha Ramashi Bhagavan Kavyam Shatra Bandhushchana Husha Rajanya Vipayo Kasmad Devaha Pratilomakam Sri Rajo Vacham Dhamashi Bhagavan Kavyam Shatra Bandhushchana Husha Rajanya Vipayo Kasmad Vivaha Pratilomaka Shriraj Uvacha. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, Brahma Rishi, best of the Brahmanas, Bhagavan, very powerful, Kavya, Sukacharya, Kshatriya Bandhu, belong to the Kshatriya class. Cha, also, Nahusha, Kinyayati, Rajanya Viprayo, of a Brahmana and a Kshatriya. Kasmat, how? Vivaha, a marital relationship. Patilomaka, against the customary regulative principles. Translation, Maharaj Parikshit said, Sukacharya was a very powerful Brahmana and Maharaj Yayati was a Kshatriya. Therefore, I am curious to know how there occurred this Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and a Brahmana. Prabhupada by his Vanga Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, marriages between Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas or between Brahmanas and Brahmanas are the general custom. If marriages sometimes take place between different classes, these marriages are of two types, namely Anuloma and Pratiloma. Anuloma, marriage between a Brahmana and the daughter of a Kshatriya, is permissible. But Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and the daughter of a Brahmana is not generally allowed. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was curious about how Sukacharya, a powerful Brahman, could accept the principles of Pratiloma. Maharaj Parikshit was eager to know the cause of this uncommon marriage. Om Agyanantananda Sya Agyanantananda Salakaya Chakshuna Jamna Tashmai Sigurdhuve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Vacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Asya Chathasadharine Jaisi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. I'll read the translations from 3 to 5. Text read, because Nahusha, the father of Yayati, molested Indra's wife, Suchi, who then complained to Agastya and other Brahmanas, these saintly Brahmanas cursed Nahusha to fall from the heavenly planets and be degraded to the status of a python snake. Consequently, Yayati became the king. 6-4. King Yayati had 4 younger brothers whom he allowed to rule the 4 directions. Yayati himself married Devayani, the daughter of Sukacharya, and Shamishta, the daughter of Vishaparva, who ruled the entire earth. Text 5. Maharaj Parikshit said, Sukacharya was a powerful Brahmana and Maharaj Yayati was a Kshatriya. Therefore, I am curious to know how there occurred this Pratiloma marriage between Kshatriyas and Brahmana. We're going through the different dynasties here. This is a story of history of King Ayati. And Maharaj Parikshit is listening to this narration from Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And occasionally he will interject, please elaborate on this, give a clear understanding. Why was this? And then Sukadeva Goswami will elaborate. There's a lot of the Bhagavatam is like that. Because we're asking why some stories in it, there's all, especially these last few chapters in the dynasty, they're very material. Anyone have anything for throat? Please. And this is a similar story, probably between ladies, some peppermint or ginger or something. Thank you. So this is going to be another one of those stories. So even in the heavenly planets, this goes on. This is taken in the heavenly planets. We heard that Yayati's father molested Indra's wife, and he got cursed. We read previously how molested the wife of Brihaspati, the demigods, the guru of the demigods, and later, I think it's later, you hear how Brihaspati begets a child in the wife of his brother. So this goes on up there. Of course, they don't have the same rules as we do here, but here then, so. Maharaj Parikshit said, how is it that this Maharaj Yayati married a Brahmana girl? It's not usual. okay for a Brahmana boy to marry a Kshatriya girl. It's Anuloma. But Pratiloma is between a Kshatriya and a Brahmana wife. So the reason is, the Brahmana is more elevated. You take birth in a Brahmana family, the more elevated soul, consciousness is more elevated there. So then the Brahmana, if she marries a Kshatriya, then she has to become, the wife has to become subordinate. So she has to become, she's a Brahmana, she has to become subordinate, a Brahmani, she has to become subordinate to a Kshatriya. The lower consciousness has to be subordinate to the higher consciousness, which is a disturbance in the normal plan of events of the Lord, in the culture as given by the Lord. As we heard yesterday, the purpose of life is self-realization, and so there's systems there to follow, there's rules to follow, especially in the human form of life anyway, because the advancement of consciousness in the lower species of life, aquatics, plants, insects, reptiles, birds, animals, it's just a natural progression. Your consciousness just naturally progresses. And along with that progression of consciousness, you get a different body. So the progression is from aquatic to animal to human form. Naturally, automatically that goes on, your progression goes on. There's no question of pious activities and sinful activities in those species of life. Consciousness is little law. using the results of your impious activities which you earned as a human being. that when one reaches a human form of life, then the consciousness is developed, more developed, because there's 400,000 species of human life. So in the cultured human form, then the consciousness is developed. And this earthly planet, higher forms, there's higher forms than the human, above also. But the consciousness is as the consciousness develops, means it becomes less affected by the modes of passion and ignorance. You get that kind of body that is less affected. And then the more the culture, the civilization that you're living is, then the more advancement is there. From the arts and sciences, and you got philosophy, religion, which are not available in the other lower species, and even the lower forms of humans, the more uncivilized, they don't have that, the philosophy and religion, not a very advanced religion anyway. So then you can take advantage along with that birth, because you're situated in a mode of goodness, then you're going to have good association. You're going to have opportunity, facility, to come in contact with scripture, with saints, and then you can, because we need to take help. Otherwise, we don't know what's going on. We don't know the meaning of life. What is the purpose of life? So all the living entities are traveling through the material energy. Yeah? Krishna's inferior energy. We're superior energy of Krishna. We're traveling through battling our way through the material energy. Adiyatma, Adivikati, Bodhik, the three modes of nature. Pushing our way through against this force, Kunta, this pressure. That's the struggle for existence. But when you actually evolve to that civilized human form, then there's opportunity, there's a portal where you can actually, you become free from this samsara altogether, free from the material energy. And that's the actual purpose of life, self-realization, liberation. Go back to Godhead, love of Krishna. This is the actual purpose. It's a spiritual goal, not a material. The material progression goes along with the consciousness. As one progresses, then one gets a better material facility also. A better body for a material facility also. So there's two things there. And one has to take advantage of these things if you want to become free from the samsara. But also in the same scriptures that will give you this program how to become free from samsara, there's also a program how to elevate further on, how to progress further into higher forms, higher, better bodies, charanas, siddhas, demigods, enjoy much more. And that's what most of the scriptures talk about. So it gets a little bewildering. You need to have a good fortune to have a guru, or a Vaishnava who can, one who understands the actual purpose of life. It's for self-realization, going back to Godhead. If you don't have that, then you can be misled and try for these higher forms. But although they go along with the consciousness is evolved in material terms, in the mode of goodness, so you can get a body on the higher planets, but we see that body is not so suitable for going back to God, if suitable for liberation. Even though they're all devotees, and the environment is fantastic. It's a place where there's no problems. Swaga. But also we don't hear that people go back to Godhead from that place. No impetus. There's no impetus to leave that place. It's so nice. This is what, after struggling through the lower planets, if you could remember, it's so nice up there, then you're feeling relaxed, you're feeling happy. There's no pressure. Not like here. Of course, these things are going on, there are differences, and, you know, some envy and some lust is still there. But the place is designed for sense gratification. And plenty available. And it's not like here. It's much better than, thousands of times better, Prabhupada said. And you don't get tired. Sense gratification gets more and more enlivened. Here it gets, goes down, 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 right? It peaks and it goes down, down, down. How many mangoes can you eat? How many pizzas can you take? Eventually you become sick of them. But there it gets, it increases as you enjoyment increases, increases. So it's fantastic, right? It's so fantastic you don't want to think about anything else. You don't want to leave that place. So that's a problem. And then suddenly you're taken away without any notice. Only a very short notice you're given, you're gone. So no old age and disease like something like that, but you're gone. And then you take birth as a human being and start again, and you could be misled, you could go. Because on the human form, there's many, it's not a natural progression anymore. At the human form, a civilized human form, we play a big role in our future destiny. We have, our free will is at its optimum then. Because it plays not too good, not too bad. Free will in the heavenly planets, you know, you don't make any, it's so nice that you don't think about, you know, you don't progress, you just stay there, it's so nice. Why would you want to get out of the situation? But in here, on the Bhumi planet, then mainly it's troublesome here. About three quarters of the life is troublesome. It means you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to defend, which takes about three quarters of your day. So it's actually troublesome. What we want is enjoyment, but that's a very limited slot we get at the end of the day. Or you get a day off. So it's mainly struggle here. So when that struggle is gone and everything is easy, I don't have to work. Right? It's fantastic. So that's the problem there. Then they get stuck there. And above those planets, where the consciousness is even more evolved, they're all devotees. They've finished more or less with material enjoyment. Maha, Gyana Tapa Loka. The conditions there are fantastic also. Better than Swarga. If you want to enjoy it. Because you have a much finer body. Your body becomes much more subtle. You're getting now get close to the spiritual world. But the problem, if you go there, you'll naturally progress. Generally, you won't fall from there. Once you get to Mahaloka, you won't fall down, generally. But the problem is, you live for millions of years on that body. Millions of years, according to our calculation. So, but in the human form, you can do it in a very short, one lifetime, 100 earth years is nothing. A lot of us have already lived half our lives. It's gone quick, right? Not long before we have to leave this body. So this is the porthole. So it's a very special planet, and a very special birth as a human. It's very good fortune that you've actually come into contact with the... devotees, Krishna. So that's why he's asking Prikshit, you know, he's a king, he has to administer the state, Raja Rishi. So he's asking, how come this is a discrepancy here, how come the Brahmana, the Kachya, he's marrying a Brahmana girl. As the result of this marriage, because it's against the rule. The result will be the children will be Surya, less than Surya. It takes some of the qualities of the father, and he'll become a local class, like the hunting is a sport of the Kshatriyas, but probably hunting will be the occupation of the child. So it'll be lower than a Sudra. So this is it's not the natural course of things. He knows this, Prakshit knows this. So he's asked, so this is why he's asking. And then the Leela will involve how it came to pass. We'll hear this in the next verses. So that is the message that we get from these histories and from the Bhagavatam, which explains all these things and the creation and the actual purpose. Why are we passing through this creation? Why there are so many creations? Why are there so many species of life? Because there's so many different desires from the different living entities. And Krishna fulfills those, gives opportunity to fulfill those desires. So there's a body particularly, perfectly suited to your consciousness. If you can pay the price, that is, if you have the right karma, the right punya. So these are subtle laws which should be followed in the human form. So human life, so therefore is one of responsibility. Others, they don't have responsibility. See, on the heavenly planets, they're acting quite irresponsibly sometimes. And what is to the lower species and the uncivilized people, then they're not responsible. And they don't get much karma either. But a civilized human, the person is an Aryan, he gets much more karmic reaction than an uncivilized person for doing the same thing. And a Brahmana gets much more reaction than for doing the same thing as a Sudra, which is prohibited. Much more reaction. Because he's in a position. His consciousness is elevated. So along with that elevation, along with that, the body that suits that elevated consciousness, goes some restrictions, goes some warnings, cautions, precautions, sorry. there's a bond, an unchangeable bond between your material consciousness and the particular body you get. It's not, you're not the body, you're not your spirit, so you're nothing to do with the body. until that's actually realized, that material body, you're going to get the reaction from it. Philosophically, you can say you're not the body. Until there's actual realization there, you are the body. we're thinking and feeling and willing, right? We're moving the body in this way and that way, trying to fulfill our desires, right? Trying to find a comfortable future and happiness. It's us who's doing it. It's out the living entity that's doing it. and that's the order. So there's a connection is there. You can't deny that connection. You're responsible. Krishna says, although I'm doing everything, right? Everything is done by the laws of nature. The bewildered living entity thinks he is a performer of activities, where in actual fact everything is done by the material modes of nature. But it's acting under the impetus of our desires and our activities that reaction comes. So, but we don't do it. The material nature does it. The demigods do it with the potency of Krishna. That's their service. So Krishna says, in fact, although I am doing everything through the agency of his devotees, demigods, I'm not responsible, because it's the living entity's choice. We're making the choice. And the facility is given according to your karma. You'll get the full facility or less facility. But Krishna's not responsible for that. It's our desire. So he says, although I am doing everything, He's arranging the activity and the success and the success or the failure, unsuccessfulness of the endeavor. That's also dependent on Krishna. According to your karmas, he will adjust that. So it's him, he's doing it. He's the software. And the demigods are in between. So he's not doing it, and he's not attached, and he's not responsible. He's just doing it. But he's made clear the situation. If you act like this and think like this, this will be the result. He's given. He's laid down the game. The table game is there, right? This is you're in this field. Ketra, you're in this field. These are the rules, how it works. If you do this, you get that result. If you do that, you get this result. So that he's fair like that. So therefore, he's not responsible. We're responsible. The living entity is responsible for the happiness and distress is of their own. And not, although Krishna's given that, he's rewarding that. So therefore one is obliged to follow the rules of scripture. That's the ultimate thing we heard yesterday, not in the class, but somewhere, that even if the Lord says something himself, not on the level of or Leela, but if the Lord says something that is not according to the scripture, you shouldn't accept it. We heard yesterday. The Lord appears as Buddha, empowers. It's the Lord's empowerment there. And what is he teaching? There's no good. So, there's a purpose there. But he's saying there's no God. He's God, and he's saying there's no God. So if you say he's God, how can it? But no. So you follow scripture. You follow you have to follow the scripture. And we don't know the purpose of the Lord. So like when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, there was a big hullabaloo one night. And the servant came running in. There's Krishna. Krishna's dancing with Kaliya on the lake. And the lake by the Jamuna. Everyone is going there. Come, let's go. Mahaprabhu, wait, don't go. It's not Krishna. But it is, everyone's going. Everyone says it's Krishna. Everyone's rushing towards it. Nighttime. It's not Krishna. He went. So then they got back. It was a boat on the, and he had some lights on it, or some reflection was coming up on the sail, and it was nighttime. And then someone said, look, it's Krishna, because this happened 4,500 years ago, Krishna's pastimes. But this is 500 years ago. Krishna's dancing on Kaliya. Then the room and everyone was rushing down there. The Mahaprabhu was unfazed. It's not in scripture. Krishna's going to appear again. He doesn't come again. He's had his pastime. So it's except scripture. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, what Krishna says, yagya kamano yatya lokavlam ilokayam kamabandana, that work done for sacrifice for Vishnu, yagya, has to be performed. Otherwise work is binding. So if you actually want to become free, then you're obliged to follow. So human life there is one of duty. Civilized human is one of duty. Everyone thinks life in general is meant for your happiness, right? Existence is meant for happiness. Obviously. Krishna has expanded into us for happiness, right? To increase his happiness. Are we part of Krishna's happiness, Aladini? We're part of Krishna's program for his happiness. But when we forget Krishna, Haribol, we have this and we're trying to squeeze some happiness out of this earth, water, fire, and air. There's no happiness there. But when there's a relief of the burning condition, then we think, oh, that's nice. That's happiness. So it says, no, so you have to perform yoga. You're blessed. You're born with six deaths. Naturally, you inherit those in civil life. So you have to pay back the forefathers, the teachers, the demigods, the rishis, We have to follow those injunctions to pay back those debts, because they're giving you the opportunity to advance and become free. And you can do in one life, you can perfect your life and go back to Godhead. And it's not that everyone has to progress to the perfect type of body. If you become a devotee of Krishna, then you can bypass all those things. Krishna says, "Shri Vaishasudra," it means those in the mode of passion, those in the mode of ignorance, they can also come to me. They all come to me. If they're my devotees. They all come to me. So the criteria is that they're devotees of Krishna. But Krishna is a guru of everyone. So he's not seeing what caste you belong to. He's not seeing that. He's just seeing how much bhakti you have, how much surrender you have to him. So he's not discriminating. So therefore, if you can develop a love of Krishna, then you can surrender to Krishna. Then when you're dependent on Krishna, Krishna is obliged to come into our life and help us. As he's promised. If you're helpless, then he's obliged to help. But as long as we think we're the doers, then Krishna says, okay, you do. you want to do it your way, okay? But then you'll end up in Gandhiyaloka or Tapaloka or the yogis. And millions of years you'll be waiting to... You've got out of the material energy practically, you know, but you've got to wait. You've got to stuck there for millions of years because they lived for millions of years up there. Meanwhile, someone who's surrendered to Krishna has gone back to Godhead. This is therefore the demigods are queuing up to take birth in Jambudvip because by practicing Banashram, this Banashram, they can go back to Godhead very quickly. Of course, there's 100 births if you're doing it Varnashram, systematic way. So that's the natural progression of the authorities given there by Krishna. But it's very tricky because you finally come through to the human form of life. You have to take shelter of the scripture, and the scripture is mainly talking about how to get to the heavenly planets, how to improve the body, your next body. Improve your consciousness where you can enjoy unlimitedly. There's no problems, which everyone wants, right? Our goal is to get free from problems and enjoy. Isn't it? Isn't that why we come here? Isn't that why we're chanting Hare Krishna? So then that's what the scriptures are mainly talking about. Because this is mainly what everyone wants. So it's very tricky there. You're in a delicate situation. You have to follow Vidhi. But which one do you follow? You know, this one's promising material fulfillment. But material fulfillment is not the actual goal. So spiritual fulfillment is the actual goal. There's no such thing as actually material fulfillment. But the heavenly planets is the best you've got. Really no problems. Hardly any. But we see some problems are there. They don't have courts and judges and lawyers and insurance. Places and hospitals, they're nothing there. But still, when they get upset if they're sages, then they're like Indra's wife, Sachi. She goes to the sages and complains, this Nahusha, a rascal here, you're a low class person, become a snake on the earth. So, a little dangerous. you forget your vulnerable position. It's so nice there. Right, when a person's intoxicated, you see a person and drunk, right? When you go out and distribute books. They don't know. They can't walk, they're bumping into things, laying on the road and they're laughing and laughing. So happy. Happy, right? They're happy. You can't say they're not happy. But the look at them. what a condition of... So then they forget it's like that. That intoxication of the heavenly planets. It's something nice. It's so nice. There's no problems. There's so much enjoyment. You just forget about it. That's it. Success. So nothing else is you just go with it. Enjoy it. No hindrance. But of course, in that state, then you forget. You know, you really are believe you're the enjoyer. That enjoying thing is really strong there. And so you make a mistake and go to the wrong girl, go to the king's wife, you're in trouble. And you become, suddenly you're a snake again. Now you've got to work your way up to the reptiles, birds, animals, and take hundreds and thousands of birds, and a human, then work your way up again. So it's dangerous, risky, and bewildering. Eh? Therefore you have to have the right, you need the right teacher to push it. But still you're obliged to follow. And then if we follow these, like we have the great fortune of following these very great souls, elevated spiritual souls, Krishna's parshads, Rupa Goswami, Manjari, Nanka Manjari, who appeared here on the earth, the Lord himself, Radha Krishna appeared, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we have all the greatest of the great spiritual personalities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Golok Vrindavan. Those residents, that's our great fortune, but if you have to follow, and then they do the work, because we're helpless, we're actually insignificant. Living entity in the material world is insignificant. And we're depending on their mercy, and all they're asking us to do is just to follow what we tell you. That's all. Accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. Are you doing that? Give this example, a nice story we tell often. That's the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how do I know I'm going back to Godhead, Srila Prabhupada? He said, you've chanted 16 mantras, follow four regular principles. He said, but how do I know? How can I be sure I'm going back? It's life. What was it? Are you following? He said, yes, then. So then he asked him again, how do I know, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, that's not your concern. Going back to Godhead is not your concern. Your concern is to follow the orders, my orders. My business is to take you back to Godhead, in other words. So they have the connection. We don't have any connection. So through them, when they recommend, then we can go back. But in the meantime, we have to keep ourselves clean as much as we stay within the shelter of their instructions. Four regular principles, that means you're free from mode of passion and ignorance to a very great degree. And those four prohibitions, they increase the mode of passion and ignorance. So at least you're insulated, like from the lower modes of nature, and you're chanting Hare Krishna. You're in contact with Krishna at least 2 hours a day when you're chanting the Mala. That's a minimum. That's the vow we take, right? That's what's expected. If you're serious, you attend Bhagavatam class, associate with devotees, eat prasadam, all these things. But that's what the minimum is that the Guru has given us. It's quite lenient. Right? I mean, it's big in the material world. It's a big thing to follow forward the principles. Not many other cultures or institutions have this caliber of standard of behavior. Right? Not many at all. No cigarettes, no tea, coffee, something else. But it's not a lot, actually. Once you live like that in association of devotees, it's not a big thing. And that's all. And then by their mercy, when you're leaving your body, Jai Guru, my Lord, where you want to take me is. But in the meantime, you're obliged to follow. Then if you're not following, then you're not a disciple, right? If there's no discipline, that means the disciple is coming from the word discipline. So if you're not disciplined, then you're not following the contract, then why the Guru should honor his contract of getting you back to Godhead? So that's the so we have to follow in anyway. Whatever you do, if you want to advance, you have to follow in the human society. If you want to go to heavenly plans, you have to follow. If you want the city, you have to follow strictly. The smartest, they follow very strictly. They want fruitive results, get to the heavenly planets, get yoga siddhis, things like that, get knowledge, get liberation, free from the modes of nature. They follow strictly. You have to. So therefore, the Parikshit Maharaj are asking, hey, why is that? Why? How come this is an anomaly here? The Brahman is... she's marrying a Kshatriya. It's not wrong. The progeny will be not good. So that's why he's pointed this out. And now the Leela will unfold of why he did this. Stay tuned. Shri Bhagavatam ki. Shri Bhagavatam ki. Jai Go Premanandi Hari Hari Om. Any questions, comments? Krishna Ramati. We have a mic?
Thank you very much for your class, Dr. Prabhu. I was just wondering, in terms of this is a slightly controversial question, and I mean no harm by it. I'm just curious to get your opinion. In terms of the Kshatriya marrying a Brahmani, and this becomes an imbalance in the relationship because the husband is meant to be seen as the superior and the guide to the wife. So I've seen sometimes that an initiated Vaishnavi will marry an uninitiated gentleman. Could you draw a similar parallel? Or will it naturally, even though the wife then is considered more senior because she's initiated and her husband is a non-initiated devotee, could you give your opinion on that? Do you think it matters in the balance of the relationship? I don't mean to be controversial. I'm just curious.
Let's put it to one of our grihasa senior people. Pajendra. Hey, take the mic.
If you look at our backgrounds, we're all Malechas and Yavanas.
Sorry?
We're all Malechas or less if you look at our births. So our qualifications are coming from following Prabhupada's instructions. So if someone's initiated and someone is not, that might just be circumstantial. But if we're all following, that's what's important. So, that's kind of a gray area. Probably what you're finding in those marriages, what is more important is not so much whether he's initiated and I'm not. It's, are you compatible materially? Because that's how we make all our decisions anyway, I hate to say it. We're not surrendered souls. If we surrender, then you can marry anybody. But, we're trying to make a condition so that we feel satisfied and then we can follow the instructions of Guru. So it's like, prasadam. Which prasadam is better, Bengali prasadam or Indian prasadam, Italian prasadam, Chinese prasadam? Which one is better? It's all offered to Krishna. And according to your taste, you'll like it. So maybe the American doesn't want to eat the Bengali. So then you cook in his way and offer it to Krishna. That's the power of devotional service. So. But, if you're not satisfied with your eating, then it becomes difficult to do other things. Mm. Similarly, some people have to get married, and you have to satisfy that in a certain way. It's not so much, shouldn't just be based on, is he initiated, not initiated? It's more of, are we compatible and can work together? Two, both become elevated in devotional service. I think Goswami's mentioned, devotees of similar nature should associate. Doesn't mean that all devotee associations is going to enliven you, and that doesn't mean they're bad.
We're talking about a devotee and a non-devotee.
Well, I don't know. I've seen it. I've seen in Atlanta ladies who are married to non-devotees. Yeah, and they do very well, and you meet the husband. what's his name, the GBC's daughter is married to a Muslim. He comes to, remember they used to live here in Mayapur? He's a Muslim.
It happens. I've seen it also. It happens. A woman's consideration is, a woman needs shelter, a woman needs a husband. There's one, there's six types of marriages. That'll be explained later in Bhagavatam. Six types of marriages. And one of them, there's only one recommended, that the parents get together and they decide and arrange. That's the recommended marriage. But there's another five which are not recommended. You know, the Rakshasi marriage with the garlands and the... And the there's one where it's considered... One is considered on demoniac one, Asuric marriage, is considered on the dowry, considered on the wealth of the family of the daughter. In other words, the highest bidder gets... is based on money, demonic. Then there's another one, it's based on that... sorry? Yeah. There's this one. So she's the girl is getting old, elder, and there's not a lot of time before she won't be able to have children. A woman has to have a son to perform pinda. It's kamakanda. You have to have a son to perform pinda to keep your forefathers in pitriloka, because the daughters can't do that. They have to have a son. They have to have they have to have a child. So then that becomes the main consideration, that anyone, as long as they can have a child. So that's the lowest type of marriage. So the considerations are there. I mean, if the girl is a devotee and she needs that support and that's all she can find, then it's okay for her. Then she can preach to her husband and make him a devotee. But in any case, as long as she follows the guru, then she'll be insulated. She'll be all right.
How about Prabhupada's sister? She was married to...
Yes.
She had to cook meat for him and things like that, didn't she?
Yeah. She had to cook, right? Someone had to cook fish for their husband, but they didn't eat themselves, but as a... So it can work, but it's not recommended as far as we're concerned, devotees are concerned. But there are six grades of marriages, but not only the one is recommended, but who follows that even? Mostly love marriage and second Gandhara. Bobadiki Jai.